can.
Here's another one, brother. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, praise the Lord.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's what we are, is land, right? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the land, he made us. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Brother Lovins preached a message on forgiveness the Sunday that he was here, and we had a lot of comments on forgiveness should be taught, preached a little bit more. And so I want to have a lesson on forgiveness this morning, and I have a couple more. By no means will I be exhausting the subject. But tonight we're having a special guest speaker who has been in this church, and he will be speaking tonight on forgiveness. On forgiveness. So we're going to push hard on forgiveness because we want everybody in the church clean. Maybe people in the world hate, get bitter, kill, murder, but not us. We're the people of God. Amen. And we're not going to get bitter, and we're not going to hold grudges, and we're not going to fail to forgive people. But we have to understand forgiveness. So as far as my part in this subject of forgiveness goes, give me another couple of Sundays at least so that we can explain everything we say wrong. Do you ever say anything wrong? Not that it was wrong, but that it was incomplete, and you only have half hour, 30, 45, 35 minutes, so sometimes it's hard to say everything you want to say in one message. So I begin this morning by saying that I heard a preacher say, I personally believe that forgiving others is the hardest thing you and I ever have to do as Christians. And I thought about that. One of the hardest things you and I ever have to do as Christians. I thought, well, one reason is the person who has hurt us rarely comes to us and asks forgiveness. Are we supposed to ask for forgiveness if we have done something wrong? Sure, we are. Or if he does come, here's a sticker. He or she will say, if I have done anything to hurt you, if I have done anything to offend you, please forgive me. I don't know if I've done anything wrong or not. I mean, I just stole your car, you know. But no, if that was wrong in your sight, then please forgive me. You know, really, when you say, if, don't even bother to go. If I have offended you. You either have or haven't, and we should know it. Okay? Now, if somebody comes to us and says you offended me, then deal with it from there. Okay? And we'll teach what the Bible says about how to do that. But I think that when somebody says, if I have done anything to hurt you, the guy's laying there bleeding, you know, because you pounded him with a rod. And you say, buddy, if I did anything to hurt you, please forgive me. Forget the if and say, forgive me. Right? Hello? Praise the Lord. Okay. I think that if stuff can be a cop-out to save face. You know, I'm really not as bad as my actions indicate I am. I'm really not as bad as my words indicate that I am. So if I have offended you by cussing you out, you know, please forgive me. No ifs about it. It's wrong to cuss somebody out, and it's wrong to beat somebody with a rod and leave them bleeding on the sidewalk. It's wrong. So when you get convicted, you better go ask forgiveness. Anybody with me so far? Okay, ambiguity is very difficult to deal with. The request for forgiveness is so vague, it's so undefined, it's so uncertain, it's so undecided. It's hard to deal with. It's like repenting before God and saying, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, for committing adultery last night. You know, if it's wrong. You and I all know that adultery is wrong. We know fornication is wrong. We know that living together without being married is wrong. It is sin. And we're not changing our stand on that because it's the Bible stand. And I've been reading lately how many churches and pastors and people are lowering their standard to keep the saints in the church. Hey, I don't care how many saints we lose by preaching the Word of God just so we don't lose God. It's God we don't want to lose. Friend, saints of God, lose your friends, but don't lose God. Amen. Don't lose God. That's what we need. Somebody said God plus one is a majority. I think God alone is a majority. You know? Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. So it's not, oh Lord, if I was wrong for getting drunk last night and getting that ticket, what do they say, DWI, or is that what it is? Drunk while driving while intoxicated. Okay. Lord, if that was wrong, forgive me. Lord, if I made a mistake, no, it's not if, it's I did. You got to come to God confessing. Amen. Is that right? Okay. So, if I came to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, if I was wrong in stealing that man's billfold or taking it, you know, he left it on the counter, and I just thought you were giving me a blessing, you know. I've been praying for financial help, and this guy left his billfold there, and he walked off without it, and I took it, and boy, God, you're really blessing me. How would God handle that attitude? How would God handle that attitude? Amen. And if we say, if it was wrong, our conscience starts bothering us that night when we go to bed. We say, if it was wrong, forgive me. So how would God handle that attitude in repentance? Yes. And so I'll go back to the original statement. One preacher said, I personally believe that forgiving others is the hardest thing you and I ever have to do. Now, if he would have said, ever have to do, period, I could have agreed with him. But when he said, the hardest thing we ever have to do as Christians, I disagree. It should be the easiest thing in the world for an educated, knowledgeable, Bible-reading Christian to forgive somebody else. That should be the easiest thing in the world. When we consider our offenses against God, our transgressions of His Word, we consider all that, and then we say somebody hurt me, that puny little offense, I can forgive so easy because God forgave me a gigantic offense. So I say, I personally believe that forgiving others is the hardest thing you and I ever have to do as carnal people. Not as Christians. Hallelujah. You're thinking. Good. So asking forgiveness and repenting are hard on the flesh, on the carnal man. But it's only hard on the flesh. It's only hard on the carnal nature. It's not hard on the new man. Because all things become new when you're born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, bitterness, grudges, hate, gossip, all these things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But with a sound understanding of Calvary, Jesus hanging on that cross, forgiving others should be the easiest thing in the world for a born again, forgiven Christian to do. Would anybody agree with that? Praise the Lord. We have to work on it, but we agree with the theology. It's the practice of it we need to perfect. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God. Oh, this is the pattern? This is the way to do it? This is the standard? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 sounds almost like it. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. Now this means anybody in the church. It's good for the world too, but he's talking to the church. If any man in the church, anybody sitting in the pews, anybody attending the local assembly, if any man have a quarrel against enemy, this is the way the Bible solves a lot of quarrels. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do it in the same manner. Do it with the same spirit, the same heart, the same attitude. So also do ye. And he doesn't let us off the hook. He doesn't make any excuses. That's what he says. Okay. A woman, this is a story. A woman had a long and bitter quarrel with a sister Christian. For months, they had not spoken to each other. And this is what happens sometimes. Because your health and your forgiveness or lack of forgiveness, or your health sometimes is affected by your forgiveness or lack of forgiveness. Right? You know that in the Bible. And James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. So there's a lot more than just anointing with oil and praying. You got to deal with some bitternesses and unforgivenesses in your life. So, okay, a woman had a long and bitter quarrel with a sister Christian. For months they had not spoken to each other. The injured woman was laid low by serious illness. She thought she was dying, and the thought of the estrangement through the quarrel made her afraid to die. She sent for her friend, and they sought each other's forgiveness, following which they had a pleasant time together. Just as she was passing out of the room, the sick woman called her friend back, saying, I have truly forgiven you, because I feel it is my duty to do so, and I could not die in peace otherwise. I do not expect to get well, but in case I should, I want it distinctly understood that this old matter remains just as it was before I got sick. I have another little article here I got from Brother Hodges. He's so good at collecting articles, far, far better than I am. Not what happens to us, but our reaction to what happens has the greatest effect on our lives. Usually by holding a grudge, we harm ourselves more than the person toward whom the ill feeling is directed. It spoils our own happiness and peace of mind, while the other person may not even be aware of the problem. He's going around whistling and chewing bubble gum and just having a great time. Yeah. And he didn't even know that you're offended and you're hurt, and you're just seething inside and killing yourself. The dictionary defines a grudge as a strong feeling of resentment or malice held against someone. Ill will. You can memorize that easy. Everybody say ill will. Ill will. That's the shortest poem you've ever heard. Okay, the story is told of two farmers. One had just moved to the community and, wishing to get acquainted with his neighbor, waited at the fence while the older resident was driving his mule down the row of corn. When they met, the new neighbor said, I notice you drive your mule by pulling the lines and yanking him right and left. Where I come from, we don't use the lines. We just gee and haw. It's much easier. I know, said the old farmer. That's the way we usually do it here. But you see, this mule kicked me 6 years ago, and I haven't spoken to him since. You know, gee, haw. The farmer may have been hurt by the mule, but he was punishing himself by resentment every time he drove the mule. The Bible says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. And then something very, very sobering. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. 27 years ago, this past January, this was one of the first sermons I preached in this church, and that was, don't take revenge. Don't be vengeful. Don't do that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So remember that when you're going to get even with somebody. Let me tell you something. You're never going to get even with anybody. You're just going to hurt yourself. That's a big secret in the Bible. Latch onto it. Vengeance is mine. God knows how. We don't know. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's so much more to teach on this subject. I'm just itching to do it, but got to go through this lesson first. So the next time you are tempted to hold a grudge, remember the old farmer and his mule, and don't punish yourself by holding a grudge. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. The thing to do is go get forgiveness and restore the relationship and the fellowship and love one another. Okay, another article that Brother Hodges sent me by Charles Grisham, precious man over in Michigan. Why not bury the axe? Have you ever noticed how some people refuse to forgive? They hold a grudge and literally poison their life and the lives of others with their grudging spirit. To carry a grudge is a loser's game in every way. It is the very ultimate frustration because it leaves you with more pain than you had in the first place. Recall the pain of being wronged, the hurt of being stung, cheated, demeaned. Doesn't the memory of it fuel the fire of fury again? Do you feel that hurt each time your memory lights on the people who you feel did you wrong? Many times it isn't even that someone has wronged you. It is sometimes due to resentment and jealousy, which have a deep-rooted base of pride. Your own memory becomes a movie within your soul that plays unending reels of your old rendezvous with pain, anger, resentment, and the grudging is fueled again. Is this fair to yourself, this wretched justice of not forgiving? The spirit of grudging, plotting to get revenge, outbursts of anger are poisoning your spiritual life. The only way to heal the pain that will not heal itself is to forgive the person you feel has hurt you. Lay aside the person you're jealous of, the person you cunningly stalk, whom you are jealous of and want to hurt and bring down. You're going to make him pay. You're going to make him crawl. You will be the loser. You will ultimately die on your own poison, separated from God's favor and presence. The only way to heal the pain that you will not that will not heal itself is to forgive the person who hurt you or the one you resent deeply. Forgiving will heal your memory as you change your memory's vision. When you become willing to release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut a malignant tumor out of your life. When you cease to harbor ill feelings toward others, you begin to experience a freedom that triggers your own release. You are setting a prisoner free. That prisoner is yourself. You may or may not realize that others see you as a prisoner all the time. Your family, your friends, and your pastor. So why not be free? Why not bury the axe? Life is too short to spend it on your own self-made prison. Forgive, forget, and be free. The proof that you have truly forgiven another person is in the fact that you never again speak of it in the presence of another. The proof that you have scripturally, biblically forgiven somebody, genuinely forgiven somebody, is in the fact that you don't tell anybody else about it, about the old offense. You don't even talk about it. You never speak of it in the presence of another. Yes, even your closest and most trusted friends. It's gone. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that that offense you did to the Lord, that sin you committed against the Lord, he says, sure, honey, I forgive you. Sure, son, I forgive you. Oh, isn't that wonderful to be forgiven? And then the Lord goes over here and he says, you know what that skunk did?
Let me just recall what he did. You know, what he did against me. Does Jesus go around like that with nail holes in his hands?
A riven, bleeding side, scars all over his body, holes in his feet for the manner, the way he forgave us? Does he go around and tell everybody else? Aren't you glad that he hasn't told me what you did? Aren't you glad that he hasn't whispered in my ear and told you? Praise the Lord. Now, he says, as Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. So, if you want to know yourself, if you have forgiven somebody, then you don't talk about it anymore. It's gone. It's washed away. It's cleared up. Forgiveness is a supernatural, miraculous, wonderful gift of God. I got a whole lot more to say. Forgiveness is a letting go. Forgiveness is a release of charges. Forgiveness doesn't keep score. Forgiveness keeps no records. When you forgive somebody, it's finished. That's what Jesus cried on the cross. It is finished. And he's got more against us than we've got against anybody else in the world or everybody else in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness says, go in peace. Amen. Some of us are glad it says go, aren't we? Forgiveness heals the wounds afflicted in a battle. It binds up the spirits of the brokenhearted. It transforms hatred and indifference into love. Forgiveness cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we can't be foolish about this now. We can't be foolish about this now. And I'm not giving us a crack in the door now. But when Jesus cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, were they forgiven? No. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Were they forgiven? No. There has to be repentance if there's going to be forgiveness. Do you follow me? What Jesus was saying when he was about to be nailed to the cross, when they started pounding that first nail, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What he was saying was, when you come, even if you kill the Son of God, the Son of Man, who's dying for your sins, when you come for forgiveness, it will be there. That's my revelation. That's my understanding. When you come and ask for my forgiveness, it will be there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The potential forgiveness for every 5.5 billion people in the world, if they would just repent, they would be forgiven. Can you believe that? What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Some of you might have to think about that a little more. You just go ahead and think. Amen. And come and ask me any questions you want about it. God forgives. How many believe God forgives? How many are glad he forgives? Boy, I raised both hands and both feet. You know, wow. Amen. God forgives and we're glad he forgives. But God forgives only upon confession and repentance. If we confess, if it's contingent on our confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. And salvation is contingent upon our repentance. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, even you that nailed him to the cross, if you're listening. Or if you're going to hear the message. Peter wanted to make it straight. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You got a great promise. You become a candidate for the Holy Ghost. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, God forgives, but only upon our confession and our repentance. And it's also contingent upon our forgiveness of others. Ooh. Now it's getting warm in here. Turn the furnace down. Okay. Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. Somebody said, when you forgive somebody 70 times 7, 490 times in one day, you got the habit. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. It sounds like he's talking about hell, doesn't it? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. Do you know what loosed him means? You know, like Jesus said to Lazarus in the grave, or when he came forth from the grave with all this binding on him, he said, loose him and let him go. That word comes from the word ransom. He ransomed me. He loosed me. And we can loose people by forgiving them all their debts of offenses. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, the same one that was forgiven of a 10,000 talent debt, he went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pennies or pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant did just like he did with a big debt. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with thee, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, 10,000 talents, because you desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Listen to this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, that's strong. If anybody wants to memorize that one, Matthew 18:35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's hear another story. Clara Barton, the founder of the nursing profession, never was known to hold a grudge against anyone. One time a friend recalled a cruel thing that had happened to her some years previously, but Clara seemed not to remember the incident. Don't you remember the wrong that was done to you? The friend asked. No. Clara answered calmly, I distinctly remember forgetting that. I distinctly remember forgetting that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Clara Barton must have been a joyous person, because there is a joy, there is a release in your spirit when you flush the poison out, you know.
wash it away, and all that poison and sickness goes with it. That disease of unforgiveness, that cancer, that malignant thing, you know, get it out, get it out. And the way to do it, and the only way to do it, is forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Aren't you glad he forgives and forgets? Amen. So Clara Barton, I say, must have been a happy, joyous person. And so I call this the joy of an aggressive spirit of forgiveness. I call that an aggressive spirit of forgiveness. Let's be aggressive in our forgiveness. Like, woo, hallelujah! Like the man who nailed Jesus to the cross, and he comes to him, and Jesus is in heaven already, and he comes to an altar of repentance, and so he says, oh, Jesus, forgive me for nailing you to the cross. And Jesus goes back to the scene at Calvary and says, I've already forgiven you. That's the aggressive spirit of forgiveness. Why not forgive somebody? Why not do it in advance? Why not have it available for them when they come to you? God will take care of the punishment and the unforgiveness and the offense and all of that. When we come to this altar this morning, why don't we ask God for an aggressive spirit of forgiveness? Lord, I don't want to have to be begged. I don't want to have somebody come to me and cower and crawl on the ground and remind me of the offense. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't say when we repent, yeah, but you, and snarl at us, and foam. Aren't you glad that when you come to him and you repent with tears, he just says, let's forget it. Let's forget it. And walk hand in hand through life together. Isn't that the way to do it? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it is. Amen. Some people are physically sick because of lack of forgiveness. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. And some people are on their way to sickness. And boast not thyself at the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'm just telling you from the mighty word of God this morning, forgive as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just forgive. Some people think that, well, you know, we're going to talk this thing out. We're going to get to the bottom of this before I'll forgive you. God doesn't do it that way. And God says, you do it my way. You forgive as I forgave you. Yeah, but we got to get this thing settled. Now, you're the one. You said this. And yeah, but you said that. And you said this. But you said that. You said this. But you said that. But you did this. But you did that. And you work yourself into a sweat and a fever trying to get back to the problem and solve the problem from the beginning. You're never going to do it. You're never going to do it. You're going to have to say, God, you forgave me. I forgive you upon your confession and your repentance. Hallelujah. You know what you do when that happens? The Bible says in Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy. There is joy in heaven. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I think that includes in the church repenting, saints repenting, sinners repenting. There's just something about that word confession, that word repentance, I might explain this right now, though, lest somebody get confused. You can forgive somebody. Without, I better save that so I can explain. My time is up. It's going to take a few minutes. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. See, when you confess, when you forgive, when you get rid of that grudge and all of these things, there's exceeding joy that follows. Just think, folks, we are so forgiven from Jesus Christ that he's going to present us faultless. Whew. Present us faultless? That's what the Bible says, Jude verse 24. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'll tell you, when your sins are gone, joy is the result. There's joy in the camp. A sinner has come home. Joy in the camp, rejoicing round God's throne. Amen. Okay, I'll close with this. Forgiveness is a choice. Remember now, I got a couple more lessons on this, which I explained some of the things here. We are free moral agents. I guess everybody knows that somebody said that. We are not robots. If God didn't want us, no, that's not the way to say it. We are not robots. We have a free will. We have the power to forgive. We have the power not to forgive. We can forgive and reap the rewards. We can refuse to forgive and bear the consequences. And brother, sister, there will be consequences. There will be. We will not get by with an unforgiving spirit. We will not get by with it. And the sooner we turn ourselves in, the better it will be for everybody. Boast not thyself at the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Forgiveness is a choice, and thank God it was His choice. Thank God He chose to forgive us. Jesus did not have to forgive us. How many of us know that? He was not obligated to forgive us. Not at all. He did not have to forgive us. He chose to forgive us, and we are so glad that He chose to forgive us. When I see a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross, bleeding, suffering, dying. What for? When I see a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross, I remember two things. I remember my sins. I remember that it was my sins that put Him there. And then I remember something. I remember that He forgot my sins. On the cross, two things happen. At least, you know, a million more. But we are convicted. It's our sins that put Him there. Our sins put Him there. If we hadn't sinned, He wouldn't have had to die. Right? He died for us. So when I see Him hanging on the cross, I'm reminded of my sins. I'm a sinner. I need Him. And then I'm reminded that He forgot my sins. Try to remember that. It'll be a blessing to you. So, even as Christ forgave you, what's the rest? Four words? So also do ye. Can we stand?